Welcome to this edition of the Heartfelt Ministries podcast with your host, counselor, author, women's minister, and Bible teacher, Dr. Joneal Kirby. Each week, Dr. Kirby, aka Dr. Mom, will give you practical life encouragement as she hits on topics like, do you want your kids to know and love God? Are you struggling with time to make memories with your children? Do you want to build a legacy of faith in your family? Is it your deep desire to have a stronger marriage? How can you be a good friend in today's social society? Dr. Kirby shares her heart with you, hoping you'll be refreshed and blessed each week. Heartfelt Ministries is an international women's ministry helping women all over the globe reach God's potential for women based in Titus 2. Now, for today's podcast, here's our host, the founder of Heartfelt Ministries, Joneal Kirby.
Hi, I'm so glad you're here with us today on our podcast. We are trying to do a good job of recording a new podcast every week for you. And so whether or not you're listening as a first-time listener or not, we are glad you're here. If you are a first-time listener, I encourage you to go back through our archives and listen to some of the other guests that we've had, as well as some of the Bible studies and just some of the messages that I'm bringing on the podcast. And then would you give us some feedback? We would love to have your comments. Tell us what you like, what you think we could do better at, or if there are specific issues that you would like for us to cover on the podcast, you can send that to us at our email at heartfeltpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, heartfeltministries.org, and email us from there and let us know what you think about this podcast. We are rookies. We admit it. We're not professionals at this, but we do love you. And we love to be able to reach out and be a blessing to you in your life in any way that we can help you through our ministry. So I welcome you to here today, as well as I welcome our guest today, Mindy Lancaster. Some of you know her really, really well. She's been to an event at your church, or she's been a friend to you, or you have talked to her over the telephone, and you love her just like I do. And I'm super glad that Mindy's here. Hi, Mindy.
Hello. Excited to be here.
We are excited Mindy's here today to talk about one of the specific ministry that she has gotten involved in the last few years. Mindy is my clone. If you have ever seen us together, you would think we were twins. Yeah. Mindy has basically been my partner in Heartfelt Ministry since the very, very first breath of it. And now she actually speaks for our ministry and has traveled all over to speak about Heartfelt Ministries, which is our women's ministry. But lately, Mindy has gotten involved in something that's very near and dear to her heart. She is working in prisons, and she has a unique story of how she got involved in prisons. And I really want her to share that with you today, because Mindy, you know this about me. I'm a little uncomfortable with the thought of going into a prison and doing a Bible study or ministering to someone behind barred doors. How do you do that? Or maybe just start by telling us, how did you get involved with prison ministry?
Well, to tell you that, I have to tell you a little bit about the beginning of how prison impacted my life. And that was back in 1991, September the 11th is the date that my mother was murdered. October of 1992, my father was convicted of second degree murder and sentenced to life in prison and to serve out his term at Angola, Louisiana State Penitentiary.
So your dad is currently in Angola prison here in Louisiana.
Correct. My dad has been locked up now for 20. In September, it will be 28 years that my mom was killed, and 27 he's been in prison.
So you have not had a mother or a father since you were a teenager.
Since I was 15 years old.
Wow. This life of prison has definitely been your life, hasn't
it? It's been my life. Automated phone calls, pat downs, bus rides with bars on the doors. But because of the God who is unchanging and who is faithful and steady. And when I finally released some of that pain to him of not knowing about the emptiness of not having a mother or a father accessible to me, he continued to place women in my life, but he also placed a relationship with my physical father that I had never had before. Mm. And that was a spiritual one.
Mm-hmm.
So the walls of prison, the separation, also brought a truth and a transparency to mm-hmm. our relationship.
Wow.
So we get 15 minutes a phone call. We would visit every other week while I was growing up. And then the thing that changed my visiting was when I had my daughter, mm-hmm. Emery, who's now almost 15. That was uncomfortable for me to mm-hmm. watch her go down there.
Wow.
And so I began to kind of distance myself physically from that relationship. I would still talk to my dad on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But the revelation that God brought me through being a part of a step study, which is what we did here at church, and the women that I were with, that I was in group with, made me realize that no matter the walls, no matter the bars, that we all still had accessibility to Jesus Christ through his blood, in or outside of the walls. His freedom did not change.
Wow.
So I began to realize that I needed to be a part of that,
mm-hmm.
whether that meant me still visiting my dad by myself, giving my daughter an option. She loves my dad. She talks mm-hmm. to my dad. Guilt or innocence did not play a part mm-hmm. in my choice to love my father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the love that has been shown to me through God's word, through his teachings, through the women and through the people that I surround myself with.
Mm-hmm.
So
God's grace, as the scripture says, is sufficient to even take down that barrier of prison walls
Amen.
Between you and your father. And your relationship with your dad now is what?
We have a good relationship. We have okay. a great relationship. We talk on the phone twice a week. And the things that now, you know, sometimes it can be where you think a superficial. He still looks as me in a sense of a teenager, because when you go behind those walls, life kind of shuts down.
Wow.
You don't yeah. see the participation on the outside world. You just see
yeah.
the growth from a calendar period year.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He didn't experience it growing up.
Right. Yeah.
So it's difficult for him to relate to you yeah. as this mature grown up woman with two kids and a husband and all that,
yeah.
just because he doesn't experience that day to day life. Boy, that's an important insight to have about your family member who's behind bars. That's tough though. That's really tough. Do you find yourself helping your dad with that, explaining things, or do y'all not have time to do that?
We do. The prison system has come a long way. It used to be a collect call. Now dad calls me on his dime.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts money into an account.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times he'll say, I'm going to call you right back because I want to finish this conversation.
Oh.
Sometimes he'll call, you know, two or three times. So we can mm-hmm. talk for 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those conversations, which I'm sure are just like having a conversation with your parent who's,
yeah.
you know, lives down the street. Yeah, I'm fine. Yep. Good. Everything's good. Okay. Talk to you later. And then there are those times where we're actually talking about the word. We're talking about, I'm studying, you know, just got through the Gideon. And so, my dad did have the opportunity to go through the seminary that they have at Angola, which is one of, I think, you know, could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's one of the most, the accredited in uh-huh, prison,
uh-huh. And your dad
seminaries.
Did that program.
My dad did that program.
Wow.
So
I bet you can have some really good conversations.
It's, you know, people want to think that because somebody goes away, that they should not have the opportunity to study God's word, to mm-hmm. better themselves. But you can look at prison as an opportunity of hope and of growth.
Sure.
Because the only other choice besides prison is death.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are dead and you are gone,
mm-hmm.
you don't have the opportunity to change.
Yeah.
And so through the relationship with my dad and cultivating that, I was presented after going through the CR step study, I was presented the opportunity to go down to the women's prison and to share my story for the first time.
At the Angola?
At the women's facility.
At the women's facility.
Which is in St. Francisville area, Baton Rouge. They flooded. St. Right. Gabriel's is what it was called. So had to kind of relocate a couple of times.
Yeah, I've heard of that before. Okay.
In a sense, I was intimidated because I was going to be in a position instead of, you know, just from a visiting standpoint, from a position of influence. What was I going to say to these women? Thankfully, the first thing they wanted us to do was to share our story. And so my sister, who is 2 years younger than I am, this is a place that both of us are familiar with, prison. Okay. And so to be able to go down there together and to share our story for the first time.
But it felt different.
It felt different. Okay. It felt totally different.
Even though you've been to prison.
Even though
we've
been to prison.
Visit, this felt different for you.
Yeah, I wasn't the scared child going in to visit my daughter. I was a woman of God going in to influence hurting and broken women.
Wow. And you in some way could identify.
Completely realized what God's intentions were.
Yeah.
Probably a few times after I had been, he kept reminding me, you speak to them from an imprisoned parent's child perspective. From a perspective of their children.
Okay, say that again. From a perspective of an
imprisoned
parent child. Whoa.
Yeah.
Mindy, that's an amazing insight for God to give you to know that your perspective with talking to incarcerated mothers about what their children are thinking, feeling, being like. Wow. So how was that?
It was amazing.
Okay.
When you walk into a men's facility, you don't see coloring books, reading books, toys. When you walk into a women's facility, you see that they're trying to provide an environment for these children to be children with their mothers.
In the waiting area.
In the waiting area.
Yeah. Or in the visiting area. Room.
And you realize that they're just like you. The only thing that they wear that you don't is a DOC number.
Yeah.
Their DOC number is their charge for their sin. My charge for my sin, I don't get to see it. I feel it. And he took it to the cross for me. But it's not a reminder every single day.
Every single day. You don't wear that scarlet A on your head as that novel showed us. But they do.
But they do.
So what kind of message do you feel like really resonates with them when you go in and speak in the prisons?
Truth.
Okay.
Truth as in, this is your reality. The only thing you have right now is time. So the time that you spend preparing, you can call it your foxhole. You can call it whatever you want. But
that time in prison is a preparation time.
It's purposed.
Yeah.
In the Gideon study I just got through with, Priscilla Shire reminded us that things are either orchestrated by God's hand or they fall through God's fingers. So there's a purpose in where you're at and what you're doing. And if he had to put you there in this is the way I look at it from my perspective with my dad. If my dad had to go to prison for me to be the woman that I am today, to know the Lord, to love his word, to teach it to my children, to be around other women, then I think my mother would have given her life for that too.
Wow.
And I think my dad would choose to stay in a place, even though we're separated by walls, but to know that we have the opportunity of eternity together, then he would choose the same.
And you and I both have talked about this before, that we don't believe God. We know God does not create bad or evil situations, but we do believe the truth of Romans 8:28, that if there is something that Satan has created evil and bad in, God will turn it around for good for those who serve and love him.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying. You've experienced.
That's what I mean.
in your life that God took a very, very tragic, horrible situation. None of us that haven't experienced that level of tragedy can even fathom that. But he used it to fulfill his purpose in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what you see now. And being able to talk to the women that are now spending maybe their lives behind bars and to give them that hope mm-hmm. and that message has to be a pretty fulfilling ministry for you.
Absolutely. Remind them of the promise through, you know, what Hosea, and knowing that the bad things that she had been through in her life and some of the choices she chose to make, mm-hmm. God still loved her and he still wanted to redeem her. Mm-hmm. And the lineage of Jesus.
Hosea, the prostitute.
The prostitute, yes.
Yes. Gomer was the prostitute's name. And yes. Hosea was ordered by God to go and marry her.
Yep.
Marry her and love her.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's a story that's full of God's truth right there, isn't it? You can take what God has done in your life through basically redeeming mm-hmm. your father's incarceration and your mother's death mm-hmm. by making your life have such a purpose for God's glory and restoring your dad's life to faith and following Jesus. Even though he's behind prison walls, mm-hmm. your dad can follow Jesus.
Right.
There.
Absolutely.
And you're seeing that. So women that you talk to in prison can actually grasp that. Do you think they have? Have you seen? Have you heard stories about
the women? Her name's Ashley. I absolutely love her. And what I hear from her mouth is God's truths. Every time the only truth that you can speak is God's word. And so she speaks that back to me and over me every time we go down.
This is a woman you met in prison?
This is a woman I met in prison in the Tallulah facility.
Wow.
And
so she knows the word.
So she knows the word. And you can know the word and you can go to church. But if we're not living the word and being the church, then it's void.
Yeah. But it flows out of her.
Flows out of her.
She's buried it in her heart.
She's buried it in her heart. She has allowed those evil things that have been rooted in her heart to be uprooted. She never knew love. Mm. And I think that's what a lot of these women, they never knew love. Mm. They never knew the love of a parent. They never knew the love of a husband. They never knew the love of Christ that will set them free.
Wow.
And to be in a place and know that this may be the only way in the beginning for them to meet and to know Jesus is because we are called to be the hands and the feet that carry the good news. Yeah. And so if I don't do my part that the Lord has called me to do, and that is to go speak to these women and to remind them of mm-hmm. who they are, that they are loved, they are delighted in, they are chosen, and that he has equipped them mm-hmm. to live a life mm-hmm. and claim those blessings.
No matter where they live.
No matter where they live.
Wow.
He is a God of long suffering.
That's huge. So that's the reason that you can take hours of your life and go to a prison and go through all the process, which what is the process?
You just said a word that resonated within me. And that's some of the friends that I have met through going into the prison mm-hmm. who are speaking to these women who served time in these places.
Okay, and they're outside
now. They're outside now.
But they were inside a prison.
They were inside a prison.
Not doing ministry.
Not doing ministry.
They're serving time.
They were serving time.
Okay, okay.
And one of the words she used in a term that I asked permission because I loved this term was, it's the process of the promise. Hmm. And part of that process could be imprisonment. Part of that process could be pain, could be hurt.
It's the wilderness experience to another degree.
Yes.
You're not wandering the desert. You are spending time in prison.
Yeah. And to know when you can grasp and you see those little blessings, because God gives those to us daily, whether we choose to see them or to feel them or to thank him for them, they're there every single day. There is no day that is not ordained and appointed by him that is just going to be ordinary. To know that we have breath every day.
Yeah.
And a choice to speak those truths and return that love to others, that is part of the process of his promise that he will lead us. He will provide for us. So when we go into these places, you have to, you know, turn all of your stuff in. You have to go through the pat down. You have to walk through the door. And in between each section.
And who's doing this with you, the pat down and all that? Is this
this is a guard. The women. There's always a woman.
A woman guard.
Has to search another woman. You're never patted down by a man.
Okay.
So there's a section when you walk through, you have to put your keys and everything in. You can't take that with you. They do allow us to take our phones sometimes so we can use for worship music. Mm. And to see the freedom that these women have, because they don't have to come in there. But when you have 200 to 300 women who are in there because that's the only place that they feel hope.
Is it like a chapel or
it's
what?
It's like a cafeteria.
A cafeteria.
It's like a big cafeteria.
And that's where they come.
That's where they come.
But it'll hold like 300 or so people.
And they'll pack them in there and we'll sit on the floor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're outside in the yard sometimes, which is just an open area.
Oh, okay.
And so you normally have, a guard or two that are around, but I don't think about what could happen that could go wrong. I think about what could happen with the revival of the Spirit of the Lord.
It's a different way of saying.
Yes.
And having the Holy Spirit be a part of something so painful for those women, I know. I'm just sitting here listening to you thinking about there, but for the grace of God, that could be me. Mm-hmm. How is it that I have been privileged and honored by God to grow up with what I've had in my life and not ever known the absence of a parent's love or the absence of a parent, period, never having experienced choices that so many of those women I know had to make for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And yet their decisions and choices led them to break, you know, the law. So they are behind bars. How is it that I have been so honored and blessed by God to not have that path for my walk? So how can I do anything but just be so thankful for His grace and His mercy that I get to live my life outside of prison? Mm-hmm. Well, they have to do that time. And I'm choosing to serve God. But they are too.
Mm-hmm.
And their circumstance. And I'm sitting here thinking, would I be a courageous, spirit-filled enough woman to be able to be that kind of woman in prison? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I have that kind of faith that they have. That's inspiring.
And through the things that they've walked through in their life, I feel like the things that they have to serve out and do is they've been so empty and so broken that the only thing that they can do is have that kind of faith.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen that
in those women. And I've seen that in those women.
Yeah.
I've seen that in those men.
Mm.
I have men in my life that I call my inmate uncles who made a choice at 16 or 17.
Oh, wow.
Who are now 50s, 60s years old, who know that they're not that same person. I know I'm not that same person that I was at 17.
Right.
And to know that I have the freedom to walk outside by the grace of God, because I could have made one choice that would have put me behind the walls.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of us have.
Right.
Just didn't get caught. But I do feel like there are a lot of women who are walking around in their own prison. Held captive by their mind, held captive by their heart. They may not be behind the walls, but they are held captive.
So there's an emotional prison.
There's an emotional prison.
That has kept them from living out God's plan and purpose in their life. What? You're saying that because it's actually sounds like you know what that feels like.
Yes.
You've been there.
Mm-hmm. And the freeing that I felt when I get to go speak to these women is the freeing that I started to realize that the things that were done to me, the things that were said about me, whether it was by a husband, whether it was by a friend, I held myself captive and hardened my heart to allow the truth to set that free.
Mm-hmm.
And the struggles that I've had with physical appearance, the struggles that I've had with my being able to be weak, not continuing to try to be strong when I know that I'm fighting against something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see in these women too, that there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
They're just serving their time in a different place and preparing. So when they do leave, if they get to leave,
Yeah.
That they can be the woman that God called them to be. Mm-hmm. And for me to be able to be in a place where I have to be truthful. I have to be truthful of the reality that I'm in and the struggles that I'm in, mm-hmm. to know that He's going to set me free.
Yeah.
And when I can do that in a position without being judged, the position about the gossip, mm-hmm. there's freedom in that.
Yeah.
That keeps the past from being bound around you. Mm. As soon as you set those captives free, you're not held to them anymore. Mm. You're the only one that can go back and pick those up.
In your life, you can look back probably and see numerous times where God has set you free or put you on the path He needed you to be mm-hmm. on that you were not choosing at the time. Can you think of one in specifically right now, that you really knew that without God intervening, you would have gone in a way that would have been very harmful to your life? Or perhaps you did go that path and God pursued you and rescued you out of that. Can you think of one? Because I understand so much what you're talking about, mm-hmm. the prison of our life mm-hmm. and our mind that happens when we don't allow God to set us free.
What I'm thinking right now is that my first marriage, mm-hmm. that I was 18 years old. I had been 3 years since my mother was murdered, 2 years since my father was imprisoned. And I was just looking for an escape, for mm-hmm. some love, for somebody to love me. Mm-hmm.
And you were basically a very alone child, even though you had family mm-hmm. and you had loving grandparents and you had your sister. Mm-hmm.
But everybody was grieving.
But there was not space or place mm-hmm. for you to feel the love that you had in your mm-hmm. life and now was taken away. Almost a normal yeah. reaching out for love and affirmation when you reach out to yeah. your first husband. Okay, go ahead.
I saw the signs that were scary. Mm-hmm. I saw fits of rage. I saw
in him.
Okay. And I saw things that were leading him down a path that I knew was not going to be healthy for our marriage. Mm-hmm. But I still chose because I thought God was going to use me to make him better.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do women fall in that trap. We're yes. always going to be the one that makes that bad boy good.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the first things we did was bolted from this community. Hmm. We ran off to Texas. We ran off to Arkansas.
Yeah.
But every time we ran, God placed women and people in my life to remind me of who I was. Mm. I was a daughter of His. He was going to protect me and He was going to love me, even though the further away my husband tried to take me from those environments.
Did he purposely try to isolate you?
Yes, feel like? Purposely. He wouldn't let me work. Mm. He
a lot of control.
A lot of control. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to be that. There's a difference in control and submission mm-hmm. and or controlled submission, I guess you could
yeah.
call it.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was in my own prison every single time, though. God continued to bring me out, mm-hmm. bring me out, bring people in to help remind me that you are set free. Mm-hmm. And so I finally got him back to our community here. Mm-hmm. There were choices that were made. We ended up getting divorced. Mm-hmm. But it was a very abusive, broken mess. And instead of allowing God to heal me, mm-hmm. I chose to run off and film rodeos for a living mm-hmm. that brought about unhealthy decisions, mm-hmm. alcohol, mm-hmm. men, you know, whatever that was. But I had my son.
So that was a good thing that God redeemed and yes. restored for you out of that first marriage mm-hmm. was you had your first child.
My first child. There was emptiness within me that when I saw Grant, the revelation of life was breathed back into me. Hmm. And so I was beginning at those. He was reminding me every time that I was making a poor choice. Mm-hmm. You have a child that I have given you mm-hmm. that you are responsible for. Mm-hmm. So it took me about a year to kind of come back around to let God take care of you. He's going to provide for you. You have to trust that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I remind these women too, is that even though there are bad choices, God is still there.
So when you go into prison and you minister to these women who are imprisoned by bars and walls mm-hmm. and they have no choices in life, like like you did, there is a reality of truth to what you speak from your own experience, because the bondage of sin is around all of us unless the truth of God sets us free.
Right.
So you can relate to them through that experience. Mm-hmm. And boy, I know that speaks truth to them. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing to see what God uses mm-hmm. when you lay down your pain and your suffering to them mm-hmm. and just stand there vulnerable.
Yeah.
When they see my vulnerability, their vulnerability creeps in. Mm-hmm. And when they're vulnerable, they're honest.
Yeah. So you don't go in, and I'm going to need to wrap this up, but you're just leading me to more and more questions, because we're going to have you back for sure. We have to do this again. But when you're vulnerable and honest with them, you're able to have real heart-to-heart conversations with these women that perhaps they don't ever really get to have with other people.
Yeah. You have to be careful, because there are rules, you know, when you go in the prison about, you know, long interactions. We can pray with them. They give us a few moments to do that. But being able to reconnect them, like with the chaplain there, with another church that goes in.
So there is aftercare.
There is aftercare.
The way we would say that.
Yeah.
So that after you leave, if they have a need spiritually, there are places, people they can talk to, you know, who will reach out to them. Well, Mindy, thank you for being here today. I'm sitting here with a world more of questions, and my listeners are doing the same thing. So we'll have to have you back on a podcast. Do you agree? If you agree, you want to have Mindy back, reach out to us and comment on our website or send me an email at heartfeltpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Mindy, for spending this time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Incredibly blessed to have you here. And I want to just say to you that are listening today, if any part of this talk today, any of Mindy's story has really touched you in some way, if you feel called now to maybe get more involved in women's lives, whether they're in prison or not, I just ask you to not let that Holy Spirit moment of God touching your heart go unanswered. This is a time for you to just seek your heart and what God is calling you to do. And perhaps you too can do some of the work like Mindy does, where she is teaching truth in love to women who need to hear that message. They may be your neighbor. It may be your child. It could be your daughter or a granddaughter. It could be some women in your church, or it could be a woman in prison. But we are called to share our stories, and we are told that we are to reach and teach the lost of the world. And I just encourage you today to find someone to share Jesus with. Now go out and have a blessed day.